for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday afternoon, May the 22nd, 2009. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on the sins of fretfulness.
Victory. The Lord has shown me how, you know, if you have a critical heart, that's really a misguided gift of discernment because you see things. If you see it and stuff it, you've made a judgment. If you see it, stuff it, and or speak it out, you've made a judgment. And so now when I have the thought that I see something, I start immediately praying in tongues. And that totally has delivered me from judging. Hallelujah. Because you don't know how to pray as you ought. And basically, my message has really come out of what God's trying to teach me when He disciplines me. I've been seeking the Lord. When Nathan had people up here, I said, I've been repenting for 3 years. I've been seeking God for answers to eye problems for years, thinking I would escape it. And then I was diagnosed it last March. And so I really have been seeking the Lord for spiritual answers, spiritual roots to skin cancer, spiritual roots to eye problems, macular degeneration of the eyes. And basically, eye problems are rooted in pride. That's the main thing. I don't know if any of you have ever had just water run out of your eyes. You ever had that happen? Real watery eyes, and they tell you, well, that's just dry eyes that these old people get in the nursing homes. Have you heard that? You know what it's from? Haughty eyes. The word haughty has to do with running down with tears. My goodness. When I saw all of that, I'm saying I've been repenting, and I can tell you my eyes are better today. Sometimes when I get on the computer and the macula, everything just runs together. I just cannot read nothing. It just runs together, the little print. And I start praying in tongues and taking dominion, and it just clears right up. So I thank God I can see and I can drive. I bless the Lord for my eyes. And now I tell my eyes, you better see according to the Word of God. And I tell my nose, kick off these skin cancers in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord. Well, the other day in my studying, I just happened to be looking up all the words in Psalms 37 in the Hebrew and the Greek. And if you'll turn to Psalms 37, because I grew up very protected and I was loved, but I grew up with critical parenting. And I'm not justifying my sin, but basically I really have not been a fearful person. You know, and there's areas where that, you know, I do things that people would be afraid to do. And like drive on the freeways in Houston when you're almost 71 years old. So, I mean, I really just don't even think about being afraid. And so when I was looking at this scripture in Psalms 37, when I started looking up the words, I thought, dear God, I've been a fretter my whole life. My whole life. I never saw it. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know when I'm fretting. And every time I start to fret, I pray you'll tell me and I'll repent. And He does that. If I start to fret, He'll say, you're fretting. I'll take care of it. I'll say, oh, thank you, Lord. It is so wonderful. It was even blocking me from hearing the Lord. But it says, do not fret. And you know, you read that word. You know what it means? It means to burn or kindled. Be kindled. It has to do with anger. It means since anger is visible in the kindling of the eyes, you see how that's tied in with your eyes, and inflames the countenance. And sometimes it denotes sorrow rather than anger. The Bible says that grief and affliction waste away the eyes. And then it means redness, of which the face is suffused, which means it's just, you know, spread out. It has to do with your countenance. It says, do not fret because of evildoers. Well, some of the things, you know, big thing, some of the things I would fret about, the main thing I've fretted about my whole life is my size. I've fretted about my weight. I felt fat. I fretted. I fretted about wanting to be a perfect mother. Fretted about, am I really hearing the Lord? Am I really on the right direction? Those are the things that I would fret about, and it was so subtle. Fret about finances. And it's a subtle thing. You know, most fretting people are not even aware they're doing it. With me, I was not even aware that I was a fretter. I mean, if somebody say, are you fearful? I'd say, no, I'm not a fearful person. I'm not an angry person. But if you're a fretter, you've got anger there. Because the word fretting, fretfulness in the dictionary means a state of mental uneasiness, distress, anxiety, agitation, anxiousness, apprehension, be repenting over these, butterflies, disquiet, edginess, nervousness, being perturbed, tension, the jitters, upset, worry, heebie-jeebies, a confused. Now, if this applies to you, and it probably does, or God wouldn't tell me to do this, and humble myself again. No, I don't mind. If I get free, I don't care what I have to do it, as long as it's God's approves of it. And since I realized I had a prideful, haughty, arrogant heart, I've just been working at humble. Lord, I want to be humble. I want to please you. And now most of y'all do, or you wouldn't be here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp trying to get free and trying to get more of Jesus. It means a confused state or agitated condition, disquiet, perplexity, bewilderment, disconcerted, let me say it that way, turmoil, confusion, to be in a dither, flurry, bafflement, befuddlement, fluster, flutter, upset, to worry over trifles, to be in a tizzy, to bite one's nails, I don't do that, praise God, fuss, stew, sweat, work oneself up into a lather over, pother, fret and fume, disturb, unsettle, bother, trouble, concern, fluster, discomfort, discompose, discombobulate, dismay, afflict, torment, get to and harrow. That's what that means in the dictionary. And it's a state of mind, and most of the time we're unconscious that we have it. And over 344 times in the Word of God, God says, be anxious for nothing. In the Old Testament, it says fret. In the New Testament, it's talking about anxiety and worry, which is the same thing. 344 times God says to fear not, or words like that. And so Psalms 37 says, you know what, we fret over all the what ifs. What if I'm not hearing God? What if my kids go to hell? What if the one world government takes over next month? What if I don't have any food? What if that NAFTA corridor comes in? What if all the politicians are crooked? What if? Yes, they are. They are. And you know what? They're bought off. If you wonder why our Senate and House is full of communists, it's because they have bought off our Senate and our communists. They finance them, and then they advertise them, and then they put them on the news, and then they push them forth, and they get elected. And then they have their way. It says, do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. False prophets, I'm telling you, they really cause me to fret. And politicians, and the elections. And I knew if certain people didn't get in, we'd be a one-world government just as soon as they could set it up, and it's being set up right now. It says, for they will wither, good news, quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Hallelujah. It says, trust means confide, set your hope on, put your trust in, your confidence in God. And do good means be kind, upright, and honest. Dwell means let oneself down, to settle down, to rest, abide. You know, there's a lot of people right now trying to stir things in the country for things that we really believe in. But you know, God says He leads His children in paths of peace. He doesn't lead us. He leads us beside still waters. And it says, because the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. Hallelujah. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. And that means to be soft, tender, and pliable toward the Lord. It means that when God speaks to you, you don't harden your heart, but you make your heart soft, tender, and pliable. And it says, then you'll have the desires of your heart. It says, commit, roll it all on God. Trust, confide in anyone to set one's hope on and confidence in the Lord, and He will, also in Him, and He will do it. And He will bring forth your righteousness as the light of the sun. You know, the Bible says in Matthew that the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. It says, and your judgment as noonday. Rest, be silent, to plead anyone's cause, be still. Rest in the Lord. In other words, abide in Him. Get on the potter's wheel. Because the clay rests on the potter's wheel and He's the potter. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Means don't be kindled. Don't let your face become suffused with redness. Anger is visible in the kindling of the eyes and inflames the countenance. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way. Along with the fretting comes the judgmentalness, doesn't it? The judging. It says, do not fret because him who prospers in his way, who's successful in all things, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes, death to harm. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret because fretting leads to evil doing. And it means to be evil, the idea of raging, being tumultuous, which is referred to as an evil disposition. Opposite would be meek, placid, and lowly. For evildoers will be cut off, to be exasperated or destroyed, exiled, to pull up by the roots, abolished and stamped out, and that's God's job and not ours. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. And wait patiently is like wait, like a woman who's in the awaiting the birth of a child. And so God tells us to fret not because fretting is a sin. In fact, it's a command that we don't fret or we're not anxious. To be anxious means to be troubled with, this is the Hebrew definition, means to be troubled with cares with relation to the thing interest of which one is solicitous, which means full of desire and eager, marked by or given to anxious care or often hovering attentiveness. Extremely careful, meticulous, solicitous in matters of behavior. That's what solicitous means. So let me say that again. It means to be, do not be troubled with cares with relation to the thing of interest of which you're solicitous, that you give meticulous, careful attention to, about sustaining life, about a thing, for what may be tomorrow. In fact, Psalms 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And whatsoever things are pure and lovely and are of good report and virtuous, think on these things. And when we don't, we're fretting. You know, if I'm fretting about my size, you know, that with me roots back to my dad always writing me about my weight, telling me, you know, I need to lose weight. And I'm not criticizing my dad. I'd give anything to see my dad right now. But that goes back to critical parenting. You know, what if I don't look right? What if I'm too fat? What if, what if, what if? And when I do that, I'm really saying, God, you're not sovereign. You're not in control. I'm really saying I can't do all. I'm really saying, instead of saying I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I'm really in unbelief and doubt, and I'm really not seeing that God says that you're His workmanship. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and whatever problems you have, I can take care of them if you it's not that God doesn't, you know, like I would fret about, I've got to be on time. I've got to be this responsible person. Well, God wants me to be on time, and He wants me to be a responsible person. He wants me to live in integrity, but He doesn't want me fretting about it. He wants me to rest in Him, and He will carry it out in my life as I yield to Him, to trust that He's big enough to keep me on the right track if with all my heart I'm seeking Him. You know, that could go back with people telling you that you're just deceived. You're on the wrong track. Get out of deliverance. You're on the wrong track. Lady preacher, women aren't supposed to preach. Anyway, that goes back to some of the lies that we've believed. And anxious in the dictionary means uneasy and apprehensive about an uncertain event or matter, to be worried, attended with, showing, are causing anxiety, a state of intense apprehension, uncertainty, and fear resulting from the anticipation of a threatening event or situation, even to a degree that the normal physical and psychological functioning of the affected individual is disputed. To be eager, often agitated desire. And you know, when we fret and we're anxious and we're worried, we're really judging by what our eyes see, right? We're not walking by faith. God says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight, which would have also to do with your eye problems. If you're judging everything by what your eyes see rather than walking in faith, you're in sin. And I've done that, and probably you have too. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. And you know what? When we fret, we really don't believe that. We're in unbelief and doubt. The amazing thing about the things we fret about, most of them never happen. Charles G. Finney said, no man frets at what occurs around him if his will is swallowed up in the will of God. If a man has a will of his own and is set on having his own way, he will fret at anything that crosses his path and opposes his inclinations. But if his will is lost in the will of God, he will recognize the universal providence of God. Hallelujah. Lord, make us recognize your providences and that you're in charge and you're in control for your glory and honor, and we're not. And by fretting and being anxious, we really deny that God's in control, that He doesn't know what's happening to us, and somehow we have escaped the radar of His omniscience, that He doesn't know what's going on. If He did, He wouldn't be letting what's happened to us happen to us. He is all knowledge, all wisdom, omnipotent, all powerful, all knowing, and He has you in His eyesight. So many people over the years that have come through my ministry have just been attention getters. They just want attention. Can I tell you have God's attention 24/7? God is watching you. You never leave His sight. And that's good news. Amen? And I love the rest of Psalms 37 that says, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. You know, there's other scriptures about the land that says the righteous will live on the land, they'll inherit the land, they'll dwell in the land, and the wicked will be cut off from the land. And we claim that over the lands of all the saints all over this earth, that the wicked will be cut off from our land in Jesus' name. Every saint all over the world in Jesus' name. It says, but the humble will inherit the land, the meek, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Jeremiah 17 says that if we trust in the Lord and make Him our hope, and don't trust in flesh, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. It says he'll be like a bush in the desert. But it says those who put their trust in the Lord, that they'll be green and produce fruit and be prosperous even in times of drought. Hallelujah. And drought is coming. Amen. It says, for the wicked plots against the righteous, and we know they're doing that right now to try to cut off Christian things, to come against Christians. And you know, it's really not a Democrat or Republican thing. It is a satanic thing. Amen. That is behind all of that. Amen. There's wicked people on both sides. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes at him with his teeth. The Lord laughs at him, for he sees his day is coming. The wicked have drawn the sword and bent the bow, and every day I think they're... What are they going to plan next? The other day, a girl in Tyler, Texas was put out of school because she had to have a hepatitis shot. God help us. Actually, some of those flu shots have actually caused people to be paralyzed. And what about the human papillomavirus? Governor Perry is making the little girls have. You don't know what that's going to cause down the line. I was at a Bill Gothard health seminar, and I encourage you to go to one if you haven't. But basically said, you know, when I was growing up, you might have 3 or 4 shots in your whole 18 years of going to school. Now kids are exposed to 60 shots. And he basically, they're saying this is one of the causes of autism and ADD. You know what? The day is coming that we may be like the Hebrew wives having and parents having to hide our children. God help us. He will help us. The children of the righteous are blessed. The children of the righteous will be delivered. The loving kindness of the Lord is to the thousandth generation of those who keep covenant with Him and remember His precepts to do them. Praise the Lord. It says, to cast down the afflicted and the needy, to slay those who are upright in conduct, their sword will enter their own heart and their bows will be broken. Hallelujah. Better is the little of the righteous than the abundance of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked will be broken. But the Lord sustains the righteous. The Lord knows the days of the blameless and that their inheritance will be forever. And they will not be ashamed in the time of evil. Hallelujah. Evil is coming and we will not be ashamed. And in the days of famine they will have an abundance. Hallelujah. But the wicked will perish, and the enemies of the Lord will be like the glory of the pastures. They vanish like smoke, that they vanish away. The wicked borrows and does not pay back. Can I tell you, if you borrow and you don't pay back, you're a thief. And you say, well, I can't pay back. I've tried. I don't have a job. Well, you know what? If you have a penny, give them a penny, and that at least shows that you're trying to do what's right. Now, they don't want a penny, but send it to them anyway. Just to show God that you have good intentions to be a person of integrity. My parents used to have a gas company, and there would be people that owed them money. So many people would owe them money. My daddy would go out to collect, and then he'd come back and he'd say, send that poor little old lady a whole gas, a tank of gas. He'd say, well, I thought you went out to collect a bill. And he'd say, she's got a bunch of little kids. Go give her some gas. And you know what? But if somebody owed them something and they weren't trying, but if my parents knew they were trying, they had great mercy. Now today, you know, you're in the credit card system and all that stuff, but anyway, you know, show God that you want to be a person of integrity and just pay. If it's a penny, a quarter, or whatever, send everybody a quarter or everybody a penny and do it till you get it paid off. To God will help you. He'll honor you. It says, for those blessed by him will inherit the land, but those cursed by him will be cut off. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. So when we fret about, are we hearing God, we're really denying that God is sovereign, that God is delighting in establishing our way. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong. In other words, if you make a mistake, it's okay. Because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I was out in my kennel yesterday. I have a tent making job where I have a kennel. And I tripped over a bag of dog food. And I fell backwards. And my head hit this iron all across here. I have a knot all the way across here. And I fell on my backside. And you know, I had a sense that angels were protecting me. Because even though it smarted, I'm really not hurt. I mean, I have a huge knot all across my head hit. It's as hard as it could hit. It broke the fall. And you know, the next day I was not even sore except for the knot on my head. So I praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. The Bible says the angels will bear you up lest you dash your foot against a stone. I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging bread. That means we'll have plenty of food, like Glenn shared last night about how his family actually fed people. And God's going to have people there to help. He's going to give some ability to help and others to be helped. It says, I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his descendants begging for bread. All day long he's gracious and he lends. You know, if you want to, it's okay to get all the large you want, like Bill said, and can it and sit on the lid. Who said that? Was that Bill? You said that, didn't you, Bill? That kind of getting's good. God wants you to get all of him you could get. But if we're greedy in this days where we want to can everything and sit on the lid and keep it to ourselves, and I'm talking about food for other people, and I know he's not that way or he wouldn't be helping the poor. I had this thought last night about how God answers all of our prayers, but I feel like the Lord told me that he answers Bill's prayers because Bill considers the poor. He hears the cry of the poor. And God said, if you hear the cry of the poor, you will be. He will not ignore you in your time of need. Now, the poor is not the deadbeat. It's not the crackhead, even though they're poor, the poor and pitied. It's not the alcoholic. It's not the person that's lazy and who don't want to work. It's that poor, humble person who's trying to follow God and doesn't have enough food. That's who the poor is. And it's false compassion trying to help the others by giving them something because you're enabling them and their God is giving them a spanking and you're trying to, and you're taking their hits. Depart from evil and do good so you will abide forever, for the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever. Hallelujah. But the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. You know, that could be a thing we could pray about. If we feel like we're being cut off, we could have had wicked forefathers. Broken arms, it says the arms of the wicked will be broken. So you may not be wicked, but you might have had wicked forefathers. So if there's a particular problem in your life, you need to check out what God's Word says about it. The greatest thing that you can do is to do word studies about your problem in the Word of God. Whatever your symptoms are, look them up in the Bible and find out why you're going through what you're going through. There's over 800 scriptures on the heart, for example, and scriptures on the eyes, like blind, blinded, eyes, see. There's so many scriptures. And if you'll look at them, you'll see why we have the problems we have. The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or let him be condemned when he's judged. There's a scripture that says the scepter of wickedness will not rest upon the land of the righteous. The righteous will get attacked. A fiery darts will come after the righteous, but the wicked will not sit there with, it won't stay. Hallelujah. On the land of the righteous. The wicked spies upon the righteous and seeks to kill him. The Lord will not leave him in his hands or let him be condemned when he's judged. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a violent, wicked man spreading himself like a luxuriant tree in its native soil, and it's happening all over America. Then he passed away, and lo, he was no more. I sought for him, but he could not be found. Mark the blameless man, and behold the upright, for the man of peace will have a posterity. That's the descendants. But transgressors will be altogether destroyed. The posterity of the wicked will be cut off, but the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in time of trouble, and the Lord helps him and delivers him. He delivers him from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. And you know, when we fret, we're really not believing that scripture. Amen? We're not believing the Word of God. Fretting and anxiety is to accuse God of not being a good God. And I like what Nathan, that was a good message, Nathan, and it was a great message to Bill. I love to come to Lake Hamilton because I love to hear the teaching. I go home different. I never want there to be a day that I don't get delivered and get closer to God. Amen? If you ever go back to not pursuing God, let me tell you, you're backsliding. And if you want to be senile when you're 90 years old or 80 or 60, even worse, when you're 40 or 50 or 60, nowadays you see people that are senile when they're young. Then don't deal with sin. You deal with sin. You know, I've had people criticize me because I'm always repenting. But you know what? I'm not doing it because I'm legalistic. But it says in Matthew chapter 6, that if the eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. That means unadulterated, no idols. If the eye is bad, means toiling after your idols, toiling, fretting, stewing. Your whole body is full of darkness. And every time you repent, God takes out more darkness and puts in more light. And you can't get God's glory going to a glory conference. I'm telling you, I get every day about 5 or 6 emails from some of these witchcraft ministries, and I keep them on there just so I'll know what they're doing next. But just come and let us impart glory to you. You don't get glory any other way except repenting. That is the only way, because the more you repent, the more you shine. Somebody, was it Nathan or Bill that talked about being squeaky clean or being clean before the Lord. That's where the glory is. And it only comes from God, and man cannot give you something they don't have to give you. Amen. Amen. Only God can give you that. And so we think, you know, we can improve on God's plan when He says, I know the plans I have for you. They're for good and not for evil. Hallelujah. To give you a future and a hope.
Amen.
And you know, it's hard for us to believe sometimes that God, yeah, we do, we believe it. God, it's hard for us to believe sometimes that God can use evil, our bad circumstances, use your mate. So many people think they're going to get married to get happy. Let me tell you. Let me tell you, it'll test your last nerve. Yeah. Let me tell you something. God gives you that beloved mate to grind all the mess off you. So you'll need to know what's going to have to go next. Was it iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another? Nathan was talking this morning about, he said how his wife, Janie, said, it is Janie, isn't it? He was saying that now, if you don't stick to an outline, you get on rabbit trails. Well, you were blessing. I enjoyed hearing you. But saying, I thought, you know, a man does good to have a wife because she helps him. Yes, she does. Thank God for a godly wife. Anyway, praise the Lord. You know, God uses that beloved mate to show you what you promised you would never marry, or you're either living with your mother or your daddy, or you're just like them, one of the two. You make a judgment and you're going to reap it. And if you let the sun go down on your anger, you'll either marry someone, or you'll marry someone like your mother and father, or you'll be like your mother and father, because those judgments continue. If you're telling me what authority's doing to you here, I can tell you what they did to you down here when you were little. Okay, it says, we think, well, how could God use evil? But God uses your circumstances to conform you into His image. And last night, when Bill was sharing about everything works together for good to those that love the Lord, well, that's only if you let what you're going through conform you into His image. The purpose of the trial is to conform you into the image of Christ. And you'll either get it conformed in the image of Christ, or you'll get it conformed in the image of the one you're bitter toward. You'll either get bitter or better depending on how you respond in your circumstances. Amen? And so God says everything works together for good to those who love the Lord, to the called according to His purposes, for whom He foreknew, He predestined to become conformed into the image of His Son. And so that's the purpose of your trials. Victor Hugo said, short as life is, we make it still shorter by the careless waste of time, and there's nothing that would waste our time more than fretting. Every sin we commit can be traced back to an incorrect or insufficient understanding of God. Fretters don't have their thoughts on God, they have their thoughts on themselves. When I'm fretting about how I look, or I don't worry about how I look so much as the fat thing, I can honestly now say every day, Lord, thank you for my healthy body.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. I mean, I have been dealing with this my whole life, and it's so nice for the Lord to say, don't fret. Amen? It's just a carton. That's not you anyway. My friend Milton Green would talk about your carton. Praise the Lord. Fretting is a failure to live this singular reality. God is sovereign and in complete control, and everything is for His purpose, not mine. And some reasons, just some of the reasons why we fret. You know, Hannah was fretting over Penaniah, who tormented her every day about not having children. And that word fret there is the same word that's used in Psalms 37, where it has to do burn, to be kindled, redness, for which face is suffused. Suffused means to spread through or over as with a liquid color or light. Since anger is visible in the kindling of the eyes, it inflames the countenance. Something is countenance, and it also can denote sorrow rather than anger. And so Hannah fretted. Behemoth in Job 40 says, then the Lord said to Job, will the fault finder contend with the Almighty? Let him who reproves God answer it. And then it says in verse 23, if a river rages, like a word, you know, when we get angry, how words pour forth from our mouth. It says, if a river rages, he's not alarmed. He's confident, though the Jordan water rushes out of his mouth. Has no fear of God before his eyes. We fret because we have no dawn in the midst of hardship or circumstances. Isaiah 20, chapter 8, verse 20 says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because they have no dawn. If we don't say what God says, we have no dawn. And God wants to change us from glory to glory, light to light, give you more light, more light, more dawn, more dawn. And you do that because a sanctification is a process. We get changed from glory to glory. It says the light of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It gets brighter and brighter and brighter. Matthew says that at the end of the age, the righteous will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And then verse 21 says, and they will pass through the land hard-pressed, if we have no dawn, and famished. And it will turn out that when they're hungry, they will be enraged and curse their king and their God as they face upward. Then they will look to the earth and behold distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they'll be driven away into darkness. You know, some of the eye problems is when your eye shuts out the light. And so that could be one of the roots to eye problems. I'm not saying it's the only one, but I know it's one of them. Because in me repenting over my scriptures, I repented all the scriptures over light, darkness, dim. Even with my glasses in the garage, if it was dim, I could not hardly see. But I can see today. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. In fact, when I went back to the eye doctor, he gave me the prescription back from 2 years ago. So that part was better, but the other part seemed like it was really worse a couple of weeks ago. But I think when the Lord showed me this thing about judging, that my eyes are better. Praise God. Bless the Lord. People fret because of jealousy. You know, in First Samuel 18:8 of Saul, when he got jealous over David. Proverbs 6:34 says, for jealousy enrages a man, and he will not spare in the day of vengeance. We fret when we don't get our way, as in the case of Herod, when the Magi deceived him, he was enraged. People can fret when they get falsely accused. And these are the same words that are in Psalms 37 about for anger to be kindled because of injustice to another. When people go back on their word because of rejection, evildoers, and then fretting against the Lord. It says that when God says in 2 Kings 19:28 that because of your raging against me and your arrogance has come up in my ears, I'm going to put a hook in your jaw and turn you, a hook in your nose and turn you back by the way you came. And so we fret because of evildoers. Proverbs 19:3 says, the foolishness of man subverts his way and his heart rages against the Lord. And it's not good to rage against the Lord. If you're angry at God, I can tell you you're angry at your father or your mother. So that's where that's rooted in. If you want to know why you're always mad at God, it's because you were always mad at your mother and dad. And so whatever you're angry at God about is what you need to forgive your mother and father for. And so why shouldn't we fret? Because of evildoers. Number one, because in fretting at the evildoers, we sin ourselves and we do evil. Because it'll do no good to fret. It'll only add mischief to mischief. It'll break up communion with the Lord. It'll quench your spirit in prayer so that you'll not be able to prevail in prayer. It'll bring you into condemnation. It'll bring a cloud over your spirit and throw your soul into darkness. Fretting is also destructive to the peace of others. You know, if you live with a fretter, they want to put their fretting and fear on you. Fretting grieves the Holy Spirit. It destroys your witness. You know, you don't look like you're too much of a person walking in faith if you're fretting all the time. It hinders you from, it compels others to dread your presence. No one likes to be in the presence of a fretter or somebody that's spewing off negativity. Another reason we shouldn't fret is because God's going to take care of the evildoers. Amen. And another reason we shouldn't fret at evildoers is because they're among the all things that work together for our good, if we allow it to. Things that we fret about are not worth fretting over. Not that the sin of others is not grievous, but God takes care of that. And sometimes we just need to see ourselves. Instead of thinking we're so good, we need to see that we need to have mercy on other people. And then fretting makes you a sport of Satan. He just loves to toy with you and cause you to fret. And the way we avoid it is just to present your body to God as a living sacrifice, and you'll be transformed by the power of His Word. Have faith in the wisdom and benevolence of the providences of God. Realize that God's sovereign. He's in control. Realize the uselessness of fretting. Consider the evil of it. And consider what an excellent opportunity it is for you to honor God and to show forth His glory in the midst of circumstances. Psalms 27:13 says, I would have despaired unless I could believe the goodness of the Lord. In the land of the living, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. To trust, delight, and commit your way to the Lord and rest in the Lord. Psalms 37. Cast your burdens on the Lord and He'll sustain you. Psalms 55. Be anxious for nothing. Be content with what you have. The Bible says that godliness is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. And whatever is not of faith is sin. Romans 14:23. Without faith it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. My righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Hebrews 10:37. And go to Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, what you look like, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, what you're going to eat, nor for your body. Don't be anxious about your body as to what you should put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Yes, life is about knowing God, knowing Jesus, the Almighty Sovereign King, and letting Him rule our lives. And it's about us knowing Him for eternity. It says, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Does anybody have King James? Does it say, does it use the word sparrows instead of raven? It used sparrows. You know, I grew up in South Texas, and there are so many sparrows. And I never saw a pretty bird. I mean, all I ever saw growing up was sparrows. And they are the nastiest bird. I mean, they string their nest everywhere. They've got mites. They're just a dirty bird. And it's interesting to me that God uses the sparrows. He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap. They don't do anything to get their food. Now, that's not a license for us to sit down and wait for God to feed us. He says, if you don't work, you don't eat. But he's presenting a point here that God takes care of the birds. And they don't toil and they don't spin. They do not reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them, because birds do what they were created to do. And when we do what we're created to do, what God, before He even created us, He had a purpose for you. You're not, you know, some of you may sit out there and think, you know, I've wasted my life. There's no purpose for my life. Do you know that there's a purpose for each person in this room? God created every person, and He created beforehand a purpose for why He created you. And if you just stay submitted to Him, you will fulfill your purpose. If you get on the potter's wheel, He's the potter and you're the clay. And being on the potter's wheel is a picture of letting Him have control of your life and resting on the potter's wheel. And the potter takes the junk out. He fashions the vessel. He adds water to make the clay pliable. He fires the vessel. And He sees to it that He makes you what He created you to be. But if you will not yield to Him, you will waste your life and you'll go into eternity never fulfilling what God created you for. That would be the worst thing that could ever happen to me, is if I stood before the Lord and He told me that I missed it, that I didn't fulfill the purpose of Him creating me. And when He's through with me, I'm ready to get out of here. I'm not a person that wishes I was dead, but you know what? I don't fear death either. Now, being fat, no, I don't fear that anymore either. I don't fear death, but being tortured, no, that's another thing. But you know what? God's working on us. Amen? It says, they don't sow, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more worth more than they? You're worth more than a bird. Hallelujah. A nasty sparrow, He takes care of them. And you know, growing up around sparrows, I could wonder why they were even created, because they're nasty. But I live in East Texas, and I tell you, something has happened on my land. I've lived there since 1997, and honestly, when I first moved, I used to walk on the land. It was landlocked, and I'd hear the birds, and I would, but I never saw a bird. And so I moved on the land, built a house on the land out in the woods, and put up bird feeders. Never a bird ever came to my bird feeders. And one day I was having a little prayer meeting with two friends. I said, you know, there's something strange about this. I said, there's no birds. So one of the ladies is involved in studying the land around Lindale, and the other lady was a Cherokee Indian. And, I mean, it came out of a Cherokee background. So the lady that does the study of the land, she led us in a prayer to forgive the Indians for what they did on the land, and led the Indian to forgive the white man. And we had a little ceremony, and she poured oil on the land, and we just had a prayer meeting. And the next morning, I was sitting at my breakfast table, and there were hundreds of robins all over the ground. Robins, woodpeckers, every kind of bird was on the land. I mean, just all over the ground. There were, I mean, everywhere. So I started seeing birds, and then they kind of dwindled. And so one day I was driving home, and I heard the word, in my spirit, I heard the word, the land mourns. So I go get on my computer, the land mourns, and I pull up, the land mourns. And I started repenting over everything that had happened on the land by the people that lived on the land, owned the land, leased the land, and took accountability for anything my forefathers had done, and started repenting over all those scriptures. And I got to one that says, the land mourns and the birds and animals disappear. I broke that curse, and from that day, there's birds. And especially, I've noticed this year, the birds are everywhere. And I just love to sit on the porch and listen to them sing. And I'm saying, God, I don't know what you're doing on this land, but His presence is there. Amen? And the birds are so happy. And I am too. I'm saying, God, I am so happy. I just wonder, is this going to last forever? It's too good to be true. Okay, let's keep reading so we can finish. It says, and they are anxious about, it says, are you not much worth much more than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? In other words, if you fret and stew, you can't add one cubit to your life. And what Nathan said, that his friend, Tom is his last name, Baron Tom? Drummond Tom said, if you worry, you're going to die. If you don't worry, you're going to die. So why worry? I like that. Praise the Lord. It says, and why are you anxious about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, nor do they spin. In other words, they're not all getting hyped up over everything. Yet I say to you that even Solomon, in all his glory, he had all the riches, but he was not arrayed like one of these. I mean, he had all the money to buy the finest clothes, but his fine clothes was not better than how God clothes the lilies. It says, O men of little faith, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, that's everything you need for life and health and peace, will be added unto you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Hallelujah. And as I said, the Lord gave me the solution for fretting, to say, Lord, I don't know when I'm doing this, but when I do it, will you please tell me? And the minute you tell me, I'll repent. And it is such a wonderful feeling for him to say, I'll take care of it. Now, if you grew up with a mother and father that didn't take care of anything, you need to forgive them for that so you can hear God speak to you. Amen. Okay, stand up, please. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask for the truth that makes me free. Lord, am I a fretter? Lord, show me what I need to repent of. Besides unbelief and doubt, and show me, Lord, how to trust you. And if you'll just sit down after you repent, then we'll take dominion and pray. Ask the Lord to show you everything you need to repent of. And if you're here and you just prayed a prayer and Jesus is in your head, but He's not in your heart, you need to be born again. Leonard Ravenhill said 98% of the church is lost, and I believe that. Howard Pittman says 90% of the church is lost. You got to be born again. And when you're born again, you won't be able to do the things you used to do. You won't even want to. Lord, forgive me for being a fretter. Being uneasy and distressed, and anxious and agitated, apprehension, butterflies, disquiet. Forgive me for being edgy and nervous, perturbed, tension, having jitters and being upset and worry and, Lord, being confused and agitated of mind. Forgive me for disquiet and perplexity and bewilderment. Forgive me for being disconcerted and full of turmoil and confusion and dither and flurry, bafflement, befuddlement, fluster, flutter, be upset, to worry over trifles, to be in a tizzy, biting my nails, fussing, stewing, sweating, working myself up into a lather over the world situation, over politicians, over my circumstances. Forgive me, Lord, for fuming and being disturbed and unsettled and bothered and troubled, flustered and dismayed and afflicted and tormented. I forgot to tell you the best part of this message. I wasn't even praying about this, but when I repented of fretting, I want you to know a 70-year digestion problem was healed. I mean, I couldn't eat peanut butter or take cod liver oil. I couldn't take vitamins because it would give me indigestion. There was a time in my life I couldn't even drink juice without it giving me indigestion. But anyway, I couldn't eat peanut butter or certain things I ate. If I drank a glass of water after it, I'd have indigestion all day long. Now I can take cod liver oil tablets and peanut butter and drink a big glass of water, and it doesn't faze me. And that, see, all of that turmoil without knowing of fretting, I was totally healed and wasn't even praying about that. No telling, if I keep doing this, no telling what he's going to fix next that I didn't even know was broke. Another thing, as I was seeking the Lord for my eyes, I've listened to Bible tapes every night. Since 1992, I play Bible tapes and listen while I sleep. Because it puts I'm a spiritual garden, and it's putting seeds of God's Word in my heart. And I've always listened on 72. Well, now I listen on 46. My ears got healed. Amen? And I wasn't praying about my ears. You know, ear problems come in through, first of all, not listening to authority, your mother and father, shutting them out, or it comes in through not listening to God. God give us ears to hear. That's why Jesus said over and over, him who has ears, let him hear. Lord, give us ears to hear in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, I ask you to forgive me for worry, anxiety, stress, being troubled. God, forgive me for being anxious for everything. God, forgive me for stress, tension, worry. God, forgive me for anger, fretting over the wicked, over evildoers. Forgive me for burning and being kindled, which is visible in my eyes and inflamed my countenance. God, I ask you to forgive me. I forgive every person, Lord, who's hurt me, tormented me. Forgive me for having no fear of you. God, forgive me for having no dawn in the midst of circumstances. God, forgive me for fretting because I don't get my way, over how I look, over whatever you show me I fret about, over finances. Forgive me for being jealous. And I forgive those who falsely accused me, rejected me. Forgive me for fretting over evildoers. And Lord, being envious of the arrogant. God, I thank you that you're going to cut them off. And Lord, I don't want to be one that gets cut off. In Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Forgive me for not walking by faith. Forgive me for walking by what I see and not what I hear. And not what your word says. In Jesus' name. I just come against the spirit of fretfulness. I come against indigestion. I come against bitterness. I come against anger in the name of Jesus. I command you to leave. In Jesus' name, we break your power. I command agitation, irritation, turmoil, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of fluster, upset, worry, anxiety, fear, leave, edginess, nervousness, go. All spirits of being perturbed, you have to go in Jesus' name. All spirits of distress, you have to go. All spirits of stress, you have to go. All spirits of bewilderment, you have to go. All spirits that keep us in a tizzy, out. In Jesus' name, all spirits of nail biting, fussing, stewing, sweating, has to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of fretting, fuming in Jesus' name. Trouble, bothered, concerned, go in Jesus' name. All spirits of anger has to go in the name of Jesus. We break your power. Unbelief and doubt, we break your power in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for being anxious for everything and not praying, Lord, and making supplication to you. And forgive me for not letting my requests be known to you, God, so that your peace will guard my heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Forgive me, Lord, that whatever is honorable and right and pure and lovely and good repute and excellent and worthy of praise, Lord, my mind has not dwelled on those things in Jesus' name. Lord, I present my body to you as a living sacrifice. In Jesus' name, forgive me for not believing your word. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We bless you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. All spirits of fear and dread have to go in Jesus' name. All terror has to go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands. And all indigestion has to go. Cancer has to leave. Eye problems have to go. All spirits that have inflamed their face and their countenance, go. Redness that has suffused their face, go in Jesus' name. We break your power. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Lord, I speak peace over your children. I speak peace to the turmoil, peace in the midst of a storm. Lord, forgive us for not keeping our eyes stayed upon you, Lord, so that we'll have your perfect peace. Praise you, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you'll tell me every time I'm fretting or worrying, that you'll tell me and I will obey you and stop it. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Amen. Bless you. And Lord, we ask you to bless the food. Bless those that prepare it. Bless it, purify it, sanctify it. Thank you for another day of freedom in America. Thank you for another day of food. Thank you for another day that we can drive our cars, that we can buy gas. Thank you for a roof over our head. Thank you for electricity. Thank you for water. Thank you for good health. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord. And thank you that you will never forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.